My friends, our scripture readings today present us with three separate accounts of God's call. The first is from the first book of Samuel, in which we hear the sacred author describing a call from God that Samuel received while still a very young boy. Samuel answered the Lord with an open heart and a willing spirit when he said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And because Samuel said yes to God, the Lord blessed him with all the gifts he would need to become a great prophet and judge over Israel. In the gospel today, St. John also details for us a second call from God. When our Lord Jesus himself invited the two brothers, Andrew and Simon Peter, to follow him. And because they said yes, Jesus made them fishers of men. Today, though, I'd like to focus our attention on yet another call, a call from God that each and every one of us has received. And I'm speaking here about the call described in our second reading, from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. There, Paul speaks about the call that God addresses to each of us as followers of his Son, to live our lives in purity of mind, body, and spirit in union with him. You know, it's sometimes said that our Lord had relatively little to say about human sexuality, and in one sense, in a superficial sense anyway, there may be some truth in that. The four Gospels don't give us voluminous details about sexual conduct spelled out by Jesus himself, although we can easily discern our Lord's attitude towards sexuality in the reverence that he showed towards every human person. And yet, if Jesus spoke sparingly about human sexuality, what he did say is quite profound. For example, in the Sermon on the Mount, our Lord condemned not only the act of adultery, but he also condemned the attitude of lust or adultery of the heart, a very high standard indeed. And so to get a complete understanding of Christian moral teaching on human sexuality, we must look not only at the four Gospels, but at the whole of sacred Scripture. The Old Testament, for example, which Jesus came to fulfill, has a great deal to say about human sexuality and morality. And in the New Testament, so do the pastoral letters of the apostles Peter and Paul and James and Jude. You see, the four Gospels record Jesus' public ministry. And our Lord's public ministry took place in a Hebrew world where traditional Jewish teachings on sexual morality were presumed, that is, well accepted and well known. But apostles like Paul were given a very challenging task by the risen Christ himself, namely to preach and teach the gospel to those who were living in a pagan Greco-Roman world. And in the pagan world in which Paul preached, Jewish moral teachings on human sexuality were not well known and accepted. And so the apostles necessarily had a great deal to say on a subject which profoundly touches the life of every person called by Jesus Christ. For example, in our second reading today, we have a passage from one of Paul's earliest and most important letters, namely his first letter to the Corinthians. If you've studied the New Testament, you may know that Corinth was a port city and a pagan city, well known in the first century for being a place of loose morals and an anything-goes morality, very much like our modern world today. In Corinth, nothing in the realm of Christian morality could be taken for granted. And in this passage from 1 Corinthians, it's clear that from the very dawn of our faith, the constant and unchanging teaching of Christ is that his followers are to live lives of sexual chastity, and that the act of sexual intercourse is meant by God for marriage, for husbands and wives, for procreation, and for publicly committed lifelong love. The corollary is that apart from the marriage state, genital sexual activity is contrary to the will of God. And nothing, including all the many and varied types of contraceptives and abortifacients invented since that time, has changed this teaching. Nor have the multitude of degrading pornographic substitutes for sex that are so prevalent on the internet today. Furthermore, if you were to go back and read the verses that occur immediately before this passage in 1 Corinthians, you'd see that Paul has just chastised the Christians at Corinth because a certain man, a member of the Christian community in that city, was cohabiting or living in a sexual union with his father's wife. And yet nobody in the church at Corinth seemed particularly upset by that fact. After all, if they loved each other, that's all that mattered, right? Wrong. It's in this context that Paul writes words that could not be more profound, more lasting, or more meaningful for us today. Paul says simply but eloquently, "The body is not for immorality. It is for the Lord." This was a revolutionary statement for pagan converts to the faith who lived in a world that looked at the human body as an object, a world that casually accepted pornography and fornication, prostitution, multiple marriages, sexual slavery, and human trafficking. Earlier in the same chapter of 1 Corinthians, Paul has already condemned a number of sexual sins and sins of other kinds as well, including theft, sodomy, greed, drunkenness, and slander, and said that no one who does these things would inherit the kingdom of God. And yet we also know from his writings that Paul was an apostle of God's mercy, and that he would be the first to insist that anyone who had sinned, whether sexually or in other ways, and that includes all of us, doesn't it, would be fully forgiven if that person sincerely repented and strived to live in union with Christ. St. Paul concludes his teaching today by saying that we should reverence and respect our bodies because through baptism, our bodies have become members of the body of Christ. Paul reminds us that our bodies were created by God to be temples of the Holy Spirit who was given to us by God our Father. Our very bodies have been destined for resurrection and not for selfish gratification or pornographic display. Yes, the Apostle Paul says that we ourselves, body and soul, have been purchased at a great price, namely the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I close now with the words of Paul as he speaks to us about God's call. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit whom you have received from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been purchased at a great price. Therefore, glorify God in your body.